just want to piggyback on a couple of things that some of you have already said and flesh them out a little further. We hear about all this talk about cops and fear and all of that. Just remember that God in His Word has not called us as parents to be tyrants. That's not our calling. He's called us as stewards of children made in His image, of stewards of children that He's given to us for His glory. So we're talking about a stewardship, not being a tyrant, not being a mean ogre. We have a very short time, and we comprise all of that in terms of teaching and of discipline and correction in that term that some of you have been using. It's the term training. We're training them. We're training them to fear the Lord. We're training them to fear us, in a sense, not because that's the ultimate goal, but to know and to fear the Lord. And to piggyback on something that Maria said, the consequences are dire. They really are. I mean, Proverbs is not particularly written to parents. It's mostly written to young people, young men, who are supposed to hear and listen and heed the word of their parents. Because if they don't, there's a good likelihood they're going to entrap their own souls like birds flying into a trap that's been set for them. So the consequences are dire, and the responsibilities are large. And for sure, it's grace training. Absolutely. It's all those things. It's not one of the, we can't just take one of these things we're talking about and pick it out like a straw. It's all part of the discussion in terms of our parental stewardship before God and for the sake of the souls of these little ones that He's placed in our stewardship for His glory. It's a blessing. Remember, children are a blessing. They're not a curse. There are things in the world that are cursed, but children aren't one of them. They're a blessing. They're a gift from the Lord. Okay, Steve Thomas.
I love the law of the Lord, and I meditate it day and night. And so the idea is that when God is correcting me, He's protecting me from a worse consequence than whatever the consequence that He gave me in correcting me. And so if we tell a child, I'm going to spank you if I catch you in the road, that's much better than getting hit by a car. And so we have the same thing with the law. It wouldn't be a bad thing for us to have that somewhere on the wall of our house or somewhere where we could look at it to remember that the law is good. We're trying to train our kids in that same way.
One more. I want to move on to, we can't cover all seven questions in case y'all haven't figured this out by now. But I want to make sure to give y'all the opportunity on something. But just one more thing on that line. One of the ways that Pastor Brock described, you okay?
Or am I just looking
okay? One of the ways Pastor Brock described or critiqued what he called gentle parenting was that it's essentially trying to be the counselor at an age where what they need is the cop, like trying to talk and reason when they're actually not developmentally ready for that, and a lot of people, maybe not in this room, but a lot of people that you'll meet, think that a training SWAT for a toddler is cruel. And I would say what's actually cruel is expecting that toddler to understand all of your verbal explanations for why they shouldn't hit mommy in the face, or why they shouldn't punch their brother, or why they shouldn't run out in the street. Like expecting them to understand those things and expecting that to protect them, that's what's cruel. Whereas pain is a language that even a toddler can understand. It's a small, it makes sense. I often wondered, what must it have been like for Adam and Eve to parent their first kids. Like, you're the only people in history who actually weren't children yourself. You don't even have got that experience. You got no older people to talk to give you. You got no book of Proverbs. And I doubt, frankly, that God is like whispering in their ear parenting advice all the time. A lot of what they're learning most likely is just experience. Oh, this baby, he doesn't understand anything I'm saying. So if I'm going to have to stop him, I'm going to have to do it physically somehow. So don't let the world tell you what is cruel and what is not. So number four, I want to ask you guys, especially you younger parents, what's one thing Pastor Brock said that you plan to implement in your own parenting? Dave Chapin.
So the one thing that I've really struggled with in the past has been asking the kids, can you do something? Mm-hmm. With the expectation that they know that I'm really saying, do this right now. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that really I've been trying to work on, especially this last week. And thankfully, one of my older kids that are in the counseling stage sometimes says, hey, you asked me, you didn't tell me. So
are you asking?
That's a good thing. I love having that and having the older kids that are able to help hold me accountable too to this stuff too. Because even as a parent, we're still learning. We're still growing in that sense. So, and it's great for them to be able to know, hey, we can say something to you in this case without being disrespectful, without getting out of line. And so that's the one thing for me.
That is good. Who else? Something that you heard that you feel like you need to implement and, God willing, plan to implement?
Appeal.
The appeal. Let him explain this appeal process here. You're appealing the appeal.
Well, for us, it's been, we had kind of some raw, primitive form of it at the house that wasn't working really great, but that we were kind of like, it was very arbitrary, where my older children would ask, like, would try to push back, and they were doing so kind of at my encouragement, but then it was sort of random as far as when. I'd be like, don't argue with me. Just do it. But then there was no consistency, and that was my fault. So it's been a great blessing. They heard the appeal explained as far as it is. I believe what he was, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the way he explained it was, it is when some information is missing. Like, you don't as a parent have all the information. You've asked your child to do something, or you asked your young adult to do something, or told them that they couldn't, but you don't have all the information. Maybe your wife said something else. Maybe there's something that they are in the middle of that you previously asked them to do, or maybe it's just something that's unreasonable and they want to remind you of something that's respectful and do so in a great way. And I think it's already been a helpful tool in our house.
Good. Who else? Let me broaden it and say, other highlights for you from the talks. What were some other highlights, things that you took away, you thought that was helpful? Sally?
I think it kind of goes with number seven also, but one of the things he said was, when you look back at your parenting and you have regrets and you see things you wish you had done or wish you had known to do, instead of just, I guess, and I don't know his exact words, but instead of like wallowing in guilt or feeling guilt, you take it to the cross. Mm-hmm. And you have to move forward. You can't just keep on living with that regret, because I think most of us that have grown kids did what we knew to do. And, you know, sometimes it was good, sometimes not so much. But if you were trying to do it in according to Christian standards, you tried. And you can't live, or you shouldn't live with always thinking, well, I wished I had, or if I had known. It's, and I know that's a common thing, at least for me anyway, but it's good to know that we can take it to the cross and leave it there, because that's why the Lord died. And he can cover that, and he can make things work out for our own good, for his purposes, even through whatever mistakes or regrets we have.
In answering number four, I'm going to wait for the mic to come back. I'll just try to project pretty good. But we're not just asking that question to those of you who have three-year-olds and 14-year-olds. How about some of you who you're young, you're single, not married, but you plan, God willing, to be married. You plan, God willing, one day to be a parent, which will put you as a Christian man or woman in that position of stewardship as a parent. So if you were here this past weekend, that question applies to you. We'd love to hear from you as well. What God might have used as a seed to plant in your heart for something you would like to implement as unto the Lord when you become a parent. So it doesn't have to be someone who currently has children right now.
Just going to chime in on the highlights part of it. I know that, I think it was the talk on the players, I think was what he called it, the players in parenting. Just the critical nature of having parents aligned, like the role for the father, the role for the wife, and being aligned, like how critical it is that when those two parents are divided, how much that can take a toll on children and in the home. And so that was something I think that was a great highlight and something for us to remember as well. So.
I think for me, one of the highlights, you know, we've talked a lot about the children and expectations of them, but for me, a lot of times discipline and especially corporal punishment came with a lot of like anger and even rage, right? And so, and that was hard for me, you know, it almost made me want to veer away from that because I wanted to veer away from the rage part of it. But just even as you're the cop, even as you're even spanking or whatnot, you know, he really talked about, you know, we as parents have the responsibility to have ourselves under control, right, and to be doing it with the right. You can be disciplining your child without showing just a lot of anger or rage, right? Because you're training them and you're helping them understand, and you're doing it. You have to be firm, but that doesn't mean you have to be yelling or hateful or spiteful. And so I think that trying to separate those, right, like disciplining even through spankings, even through maybe more harsh forms of discipline, you can still be doing so away from being angry and yelling, and that's on us as parents to really be at a good place ourselves as we're disciplining our children.
Right. Amen. Excellent word.
Paul Baker.
I really appreciated the point he made about we're training our children not to think they're the center of the universe, right? And I think that has a couple effects. One, a very practical one, you know, and I've witnessed this, like, you want to be able to do stuff as a family, like, you want to be able to go out to eat. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I know there's folks who are like, oh, I can't go to Cracker Barrel, my kids act up too much. Like, you know, it's like, that limits you. So you want to be able to take your kids to the National Park and the Wilson County Fair and stuff like that. You want them to be able, your younger kids, otherwise you're kind of penalizing your older kids because you're not. But I think the other, the longer term impact that has is if they're the center of the universe, if we treat them that way as they grow older, they just turn into self-centered and, you know, not, I mean, we all know people that are older, that are adults, that think they're the center of the universe, and that just is destructive. And so, you know, I think the, Justin, what you said about the cruelness of that early training, my mind went to the verse in Proverbs, whoever spares the rod hates his son, right? And but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. And that, and that's part of that. If you like, if you just let them be who they want to be and let them think they're the center of the universe, that's not kind to them long-term in their life. So,
this is a highlight that I don't actually agree with, but it brought a lot of thoughts in my head. I really totally agree with, you know, you want to make sure you have authority in your home and you don't want to undermine your authority. But he said that to not even say thank you to your child. And I'm thinking, like, I want to affirm biblical traits in my child. So biblically being obedient to your parents, thank you so much for that. And obviously someone else had brought up the point about common courtesy. And I think I kind of disagree with that. So.
Yeah, I was the one who brought that question up in the Q&A Sunday. I talked to him a little bit about that on the phone this week as well, and I reread the book. And he nuances a little bit more in the book than he did in his talk. And one of the things the principle I think he was trying to get at was your obedience is your duty. Or it's just like our obedience to God is our duty, theirs to us is their duty. And you don't want to give the impression that they're going above and beyond somehow simply by doing what they were told. But one of the nuances that he added in the book, at least, was there will be times when it is good and even proper to say thank you. For instance, when they did something kind to you that you didn't tell them to do. You know, they wanted to be a blessing to you. And those are perfect. If nothing else, those are perfect times to say thank you. But yeah, I had the same feeling though about just modeling courtesy as well with you, Maria. Maybe 10:14. I want to be sure we end on the note that Miss Sally was ringing a moment ago. On the final question about what should you do when you're struck by your failures as a parent, and what are we tempted to do instead? Pastor Chris, you were saying some things to me this morning that I wanted to be sure you had the opportunity to say on that regard. On just the gospel and its role in parenting.
Well, one thing that I think is important, and I would even thought it was important for people, for older people. I mean, there are lots of people in our congregation who, I mean, you know, I look at Steve and Janet, and you don't have any kids at home. In one sense, you're done parenting. There's lots of people like that in our congregation, and yet I think that a conference like we did is still very important for you because your influence. In one sense, your influence in your children's lives is not over. You still have a parental influence. And one of the best things we can, like, how do we, one question I've wrestled with in different ways over the years is, like, how do I know if I've repented of something? How do I know if this person has repented of something? For example, two people who are engaged in sin before they get married, and then they get married, well, they're not committing fornication anymore, but did they repent? And I would say maybe or maybe not. Like, so I've tended to look back on my parenting in the same way, as like, have I ever repented of the things that I did, the ways that I failed my children and disobeyed God when they were younger? And I hope I still ask myself that same question in 20 years, because it's important always to take responsibility for our failures. Always important. And one way that I continue to be a good parent in 20 years is when I realize, I look back and realize, oh, these were things ways that I sinned against. These were things I did wrong and poorly as a parent to go to my children and confess that to them and admit what I've done wrong, even if it's 20 years later. And again, another thing that I have experienced with along with parenting is few things in my life have given me the regrets that I have because of my parenting. Like, few things have kept me up at night as looking back at ways that I failed growing up, or as my kids were growing up. Because it's like, it carries with it the idea of like it's over. So many times we raise our kids and it's like we get one shot to do it, and in one sense, it's like once you found out if you did a good job or not, it's too late to do anything about it. And I think that I'm afraid that that helps, that causes us to try to remove, not take responsibility or not to hold other people responsible for their parenting. Because we know the weight of guilt that it feels. And yet, I want to end by saying that if we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, we should be able to look back over our lives and admit where we failed. If you can't do that, you don't believe the gospel. People who believe in the righteousness and trust in the righteousness of Jesus Christ can admit where they failed. So yeah, thinking about being struck by your failures, few things draw us closer to Christ like failing. It's a constant reminder of our neediness for his righteousness and for his forgiveness. And I think even in their or later as they grow up, nothing will help heal the wounds that our parenting has created in our children, because we've all created them. I mean, a few years, you've heard me allude to it a lot over the past few years, but a few years ago, I looked back, I was looking at my kids and just had to come to the conclusion that in each of them, everything that I didn't like about them, I was pretty much responsible for. Now, I'm not saying I wasn't responsible for any of the things that I did like about them, but it's a whole lot easier for us to want to say, this was my good influence, but say, I'm not responsible when they're bad, for their bad character issues. And the truth is we're responsible for both of them. And I appreciate the fact that he emphasized that in the first session, is that we are responsible. Whatever it means for Proverbs to not be promises, I'm responsible for how my kids turn out. And you are too.
You want to close this, brother, in prayer?
Father, we rejoice that we have a perfect Heavenly Father, and you have wisdom and grace and kindness and love to redeem us and to heal us of all of our sins and our failures, to cover them. Lord, we would ask that even today, that you would draw near to us and that we would be warmed in the depths of our being by your love, by the thoughts of your forgiveness. Lord, would you make us the type of men and women, of boys and girls who realize that our own ways are foolish, and that there is a God in the heaven who is all wise and who loves to lavish his wisdom upon people who ask of him and seek him for it. So Lord, make us lovers of wisdom. God, make us lovers of wisdom. Help us to raise children who love wisdom. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus, for the glory of God, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.